Can't sleep? Don't want to sleep? Afraid to sleep? Are the windows closed? Are your doors locked? Did you check your closet? And under your bed? Maybe you should keep a light on in the hallway, just in case. Now settle in. Make yourself comfortable. Lay back, close your eyes, and let me tell you a story. There are places on Earth where no human has ever set foot. Some of them are probably not too far from where you live. A steep mountain slope, an island surrounded by a muddy swamp, or a dark corner of a thick forest. What mysteries might these places hold? New species are discovered every day. Some of them are harmless, but others are deadly in ways you can't even imagine. The Blueberry Patch. Helen Killian walked between the pallets of blueberries, ready to be loaded on trucks and shipped across the country. This was just one of the farms she controlled, the largest of her blueberry operations across southwestern Michigan. While harvesters shook the fruit from bushes for the commercial side of the business, there was a consumer-facing side at most of her farms where the public could come and pick the berries for themselves, for a slightly reduced price. Many people ate as many as they picked, but Helen didn't mind. More often than not, they bought additional machine-picked berries as well as pies, jams, and other overpriced products at the small store that fronted the farm. She entered the open-air market expecting to see it filled with customers bustling in and out, children begging their parents to buy them a souvenir or blueberry-flavored candy. It was almost empty. Helen approached the cashier who was sitting behind the register playing on her phone. "What's going on?" she asked. "It's Saturday. Where is everyone?" The cashier looked up and saw her boss looking at her. She immediately shoved her phone in her pocket and stood up. "Potters, ma'am," she said. "Potters?" The girl nodded nervously. Helen sensed her unease. She leaned in and whispered, "I play on my phone when I'm bored, too." Then she asked, "What's Potter's?" "Potter's blueberries. They sell them for $1 a pound. Everyone goes there until he runs out. But once he does, they'll come back."
$1 a pound?
Helen was shocked by the price. That was well below her cost.
"How can he sell so cheap?"
The girl shrugged.
"They're good, too." Then she added, "I hear."
Helen smiled.
"Thanks. Would you happen to know where Potter's Blueberries is?"
"Up near Lake City."
She nodded, took one last look at the empty store, and headed toward her SUV. Lake City, Helen knew, was outside the optimal zone for blueberry cultivation. She had gotten her start in farming growing almonds in California. When she was looking for an opportunity to diversify her business, blueberries came out on top as having the most potential. And there was an opportunity to swoop in on some distressed operations in the Midwest. But she hadn't heard of Potter's until now. She got into her car and entered Potter's Blueberries Lake City into her mapping program. It appeared to be a relatively small farm, maybe 100 acres, completely surrounded by forest. She tapped the navigation button and set off. When she got close, she found herself in a slow-moving line of cars on a narrow, unpaved road with loose sand on either side. Any attempt to turn around would certainly result in getting stuck. About an hour later, an open pole barn came into view. Boxes of blueberries were stacked in neat rows. As the cars pulled up, a young boy would collect money from the customer and shout out the number of boxes they had bought. pair of teenagers took turns loading the requested purchases into the vehicles. Sometimes they handed them directly to the driver through the window. In other cases, they stacked them in the vehicle's trunk or the back of a pickup truck. An old man sat in a wooden chair overseeing the entire operation. Potter, Helen assumed. She watched, fascinated. It was a cash business, and she didn't see anyone recording the sales. She wondered if the IRS knew about Potter's little off-the-books store. Perhaps that was how he was able to sell for such a low price. When it was her turn, she pulled out a $20 bill and handed it to the boy. "Two," he shouted to the loaders before moving on to the next car. One of the teenagers carried over a pair of cardboard boxes, marked simply with the words, "Blueberries, 10 pounds. She accepted them one by one, setting them on the passenger seat. Helen lifted the lid on one of the boxes. To her shock and surprise, it was filled with large, dark blueberries, each easily the size of a quarter. She'd never seen anything like it. The fruit harvested on Helen's farms comprised berries of varying sizes and non-uniform ripeness, littered with stray stems and leaves. She picked one up and popped it into her mouth. The flavor, the texture, the sweetness were all perfect. The car horn honked. Helen realized she was holding up the line. She closed the box and drove slowly forward, following the cars, exiting the property via a separate unpaved road. As she eased around a bend, she noticed a pair of ruts leading off into the woods, and followed them. After a few yards, the trees thinned, and Helen saw a farmhouse. It was ancient, but well kept. The berry field spread out beyond it, bushes almost as tall as Helen. She could see more of the giant berries hanging from the branches. There didn't seem to be anyone around, so she parked her car on a patch of gravel and got out. As she approached the field, she noticed some sort of machine parked in a spot carved out of the surrounding woods. It was enormous, the size of a small house. There were a dozen openings in the front that she judged to be the width of the rows of the blueberry bushes. Was it a giant harvester?
"Can I help you?" a voice asked.
Helen turned around and saw the old man from the pole barn staring at her from under the brim of a baseball hat with a fish embroidered on the front.
"Sorry, I was looking for a bathroom," Helen said.
"Most people just cop a squat in the woods," the man suggested.
Helen surveyed the thick forest of pine trees around her and smiled.
"Thanks, it's not as urgent as I thought it was."
The farmer grunted.
"Did you build this?"
Helen asked, gesturing at the gigantic machine.
"Yep."
"I'd love to see how it works."
The man didn't answer.
"I'm in the blueberry business myself. I'm very impressed by your product. And if this is how you can provide such a superior fruit at such a low cost, I'd be interested in investing. Name your price. How much?"
"Not looking for investors."
"I see."
Helen reached into her back pocket and fished out a business card. She offered it to Potter. The old man shunned the offer by tucking his hands in his overalls.
"Well, can't blame a fellow farmer for trying," she said.
"That's the road out,"
Potter said in a flat yet somehow threatening voice, nodding at the trail Helen had come in on.
"I suggest you go and don't come back. This isn't a safe place for a woman like you."
The warning made her even more curious, and the implied sexism ticked her off a bit. But now was not the time to press either matter. She nodded, got back into her car, and drove away. Marco, the blueberry farm foreman, was tinkering with the conveyor when Helen returned. She set the box of blueberries on a nearby table and opened the lid. Marco looked at the contents, then cast an inquisitive glance at his boss.
"You went to Potter's?
You know about this guy?"
He shrugged as if it was no big deal.
"Of course, everyone does."
"Except me,"
Except you, Marco agreed.
How does he do it?
Who knows? Something in the soil, a magic fertilizer, an underground spring? Could be anything.
I saw his field. How come our bushes and berries aren't that big?
No one's are.
Helen ate a pair of berries as an idea came to her. You think he'd sell?
Marco laughed. Not a chance. He's gotten crazy big offers, but turned them all down.
Why? What's his story? Helen asked.
I don't know. His family has been there forever. Goes back 3 or 4 generations. Opens up for 2 weeks every summer until he's sold out. Then the rest of us make money.
What do you know about his harvester?
Harvester?
Yeah, I caught a glimpse of it. Looks like it does a dozen rows at a time.
News to me, Marco said as he turned his attention to the box of berries. Don't know of any machine that can pick a box like that. I always assumed all those boys he has did the picking.
Helen ran her fingers lightly over the plump, giant blueberries, lost in thought.
Listen, take my advice. Potter may have the best berries, but he's small time. Always will be. Don't sweat it. There are plenty of customers for the rest of us.
Yeah, you're probably right. She closed the box of berries and walked off.
Marco watched her go, knowing that she had no intention of leaving it alone.
The satellite view of the Potter farm stared back at Helen from her computer monitor. The blueberry field was almost a perfect circle, something you'd see in a field that used center pivot irrigation. But she saw no signs of the giant pipes and sprinklers required for such a system. At the center of the field was a dark spot. She couldn't tell if it was a glitch in the photo or if there was something there. A circular shed with a black roof?
What would its purpose be?
What was his secret? How did he grow such big, perfect blueberries in that place?
Was it the acidity in the soil from the pines? They couldn't possibly get all the sun they needed to thrive surrounded by the towering trees.
The more she thought about it, the more the desire to go back intensified. It was just starting to get dark when she got into her SUV for the second time that day and instructed her phone to lead her to Potter's Blueberry Farm. It was hard to imagine how, but Helen suspected his secret lie inside the behemoth machine she had spotted. She had to get a look at it. And if she could manage it, she wanted to see what exactly was in the middle of the blueberry patch. Once she was on the unpaved road that wound its way into the forest, she slowed down. Her SUV was a plug-in hybrid, and she switched it to pure electric mode and crawled silently along the sandy road until she was close to the pole barn. She turned off her headlights. It was challenging, but she managed to navigate the road in the dim moonlight. Her eyes slowly adjusted to the dark as she passed the area where the berries were sold. She made her way down the trail that led to the farmhouse, stopping before she got close enough to actually see the building. Helen quietly got out of her SUV and gently closed the door, listening for any indication of her presence alerting someone. There were only the sounds of the forest, crickets, owls, and what she assumed was a bullfrog croaking in the dark.
Crow, crow,
it seemed to say. Another answered in the distance.
Crow.
Helen walked along the road, staying close to the tree line until she spotted the farmhouse. A single light was on inside, illuminating one of the upstairs windows. She continued on toward the enormous machine she had glimpsed earlier and peered inside one of the gaps where it would surround and harvest the blueberries from the bushes. It was dark inside. She pulled out her phone to use its flashlight but lost her grip. It fell and clanged against a piece of metal, making a sound that reverberated inside the cavernous interior.
"Crow,"
said the bullfrog, or whatever animal it was, rupturing the night with its ominous croak. The more she listened, the less it sounded like any frog she had ever heard. Helen looked behind her at the farmhouse, waiting to see if any other lights would come on.
Perhaps the humorless farmer would appear on the porch wrecking a shotgun. Neither happened. She bent down, picked up her phone, and stepped cautiously deeper into the machine before turning on the flashlight. What she saw made her gasp. There was no intricate mechanism. None of the shakers and gathering trays that the machines she was familiar with used. The device was completely empty. Just a shell. A prop. She wondered if it even moved. Helen laughed as she imagined Old Man Potter getting a good chuckle out of her sneaking back to the farm in the middle of the night to discover it was all a facade. She turned off her flashlight and carefully walked out of the hulking machine.
"Garo, garo,"
said the nocturnal sentinel. So the harvester was just a diversion, a red herring to throw off the competition. The true secret to his success, she decided, must lie at the center of the blueberry patch, and she was going to find out what it was. Helen walked cautiously toward the edge of the field and stepped between the rows of bushes. Even in the dark, she could see the plump berries hanging in clumps off the branches. She paused to pick one and pop it in her mouth. It was even more tasty than the boxed ones she had bought earlier.
"Garo, garo,"
warned the blueberry patch's sentry. Once she was sufficiently deep into the field, she pulled out her phone and turned on the mapping app. The satellite view overlay gave her a sense of where she was in relation to the dark spot at the center. It was perhaps 40 or 50 yards ahead. The night seemed to get darker as she drew closer, as if the air was sucking up all the light. Even the moonlight appeared to dim. She turned on her phone's flashlight again, but its glow barely lit up the ground at her feet. Ahead of her was a darkness that swallowed the night. It was impossible to make out what was hidden in the shadowy void.
"Garo."
The croaking sound was closer now and sent chills down Helen's spine. But she was hypnotized by the inkiness ahead of her, drawn to it. Without even realizing what she was doing, she took a step toward it.
"Garo."
Then another.
"Garo."
Her third step didn't find any ground beneath her feet. It was as if she had walked over the edge of a deep hole and was falling into it. Then her downward momentum was abruptly halted, and she was jerked back by her belt and hurled to the dry, sandy dirt between the blueberry bushes. Helen snapped out of her spell and looked up. Glaring down at her was Potter, a knowing grin creasing the corners of his mouth.
"Figured you'd come back," he said.
Helen scrambled to her feet, then looked toward the deep, dark hole she had nearly fallen into. "What is that?" she asked. "Some sort of sinkhole?" Potter didn't answer, but the noisy creature that had apparently followed her did.
"Garo."
"What are you hiding?" she asked. Potter laughed. He turned his gaze toward the ominous pit.
"I told you, this was no place for a woman," he replied grimly.
"Look, pal, my being a woman has nothing to do with any of this. For some reason, you're able to grow and pick the best blueberries in 3 counties in this place, and I either want to know how or buy you out. Either way, I'm prepared to make you a very rich man."
Potter shook his head. "You shouldn't have come back. This is no place for a woman," he repeated.
As if to punctuate the farmer's words, there was a scurrying sound amongst the bushes. Helen spun around, trying to spot what was making the noise.
"Garo."
"Look," she said, "why don't we go back to your house and talk business?" She turned to walk back out the way she had come in, but froze in her tracks as the scurrying in the bushes multiplied, accompanied by a chorus of the strange croaking coming from all directions. It's a little too late for that, Potter sighed. Helen backed away from the noise. As if on cue, a dozen small creatures stepped out from between the bushes and dropped to the ground from the branches. They looked like miniature naked men, about 6 inches tall. Their faces had flat noses, large black eyes, and pointed ears that moved independently, like a cat's. The tiny fingers on their hands ended in sharp, gleaming claws. Helen's shock was replaced by curiosity. This was his secret? What are they? Potter stood perfectly still as more and more of the creatures gathered, some crawling up out of the depths of the hole. My grandfather called them croakers. My son calls them homunculus, the tiny little men. This is how you do it? You have these homunculuses pick your berries? You're a lot more cutthroat than I gave you credit for.
It's homunculi, according to my son.
Helen nodded and made a note of the correction. Fascinating. I wasn't expecting anything like this, but I didn't get where I am by not adapting to the unexpected. How much? She asked.
How much what?
How much for the homunculi? I suspect there's enough to go around.
They were everywhere now, hundreds, perhaps thousands of the tiny little men, scurrying about and chittering.
Are they also responsible for making the berries grow so big and sweet?
I can't sell them to you, Potter protested.
Helen smiled, feeling for the first time in her conversation with Potter that she had the upper hand. Of course you can. You see, as far as I can tell, this is a species that no one has ever seen before. An endangered species, I suspect. Perhaps they're intelligent. And you're using them for slave labor. I'm sure PETA and the ASPCA might have a thing or two to say about it. But I see no need to tell them if you play ball.
Potter shook his head. You think they work for me?
Of course. Helen bent down to get a closer look at the creatures. So, you share your secret with me, and I'll make sure it stays a secret. Potter didn't reply. Helen stood back up and looked at the man. There was fear in his eyes.
The thing is, it's not so much of a secret as a curse.
What do you mean?
My grandfather was a homesteader. He found this place, this impossibly dark hole, and thought he might be able to make some sort of tourist attraction out of it. But that notion didn't survive the first night he spent here with his family. The morning after my grandfather decided this was where he was going to live, he found his wife and two daughters missing from the canvas tents they had erected to stake their claim on this land. They had been taken.
By the homunculus? Helen asked.
It seemed unlikely that the tiny little men had the strength to overpower a person, even a girl.
Why?
They need women to breed.
What? How?
The notion seemed ridiculous. It's not pleasant. My son figures their seed is like a virus. It gets inside the blood and finds all the eggs inside a woman's ovaries and fertilizes them all at once.
That's impossible. It would be thousands of babies.
Tiny babies, with razor-sharp teeth and claws.
They grow inside the woman for about a month, then eat their way out.
That's what happened to my grandmother, and it would have happened to my mother and her sister if my grandfather hadn't struck a bargain with the croakers.
A bargain?
He made a deal with them. They would spare his daughters if he brought them other women. You see, it's not the homunculi that work for me. It's me and my family that work for them.
I'm not following. If they're so dangerous, why don't you just move away?
They keep two or three of our girls as hostages.
Hostages?
If we don't do what they want, my granddaughter and niece will suffer the same fate as my grandmother. The croakers lend their magic to the blueberry field and even pick the berries for us. You were right about that part. You see, we do use that harvester you must have thought was just a prop. They don't like the light, so we move it over the bushes and they go to work.
In return for what?
The creatures started converging on Helen.
Crow, crow.
They croaked in unison.
I'd have thought that was obvious by now.
In exchange for women.
Fortunately, they only ask for one every 10 years or so. In the meantime, they keep our girls hidden away in that confounded hole of theirs. When they come back, they never talk about what's down there.
That's crazy.
It's been almost 12 years since they've asked for a mate.
Helen felt one of the tiny little men crawling up her pants leg. She brushed at it, sending it flying into a nearby bush, but three more took its place. Then others started scurrying toward her, climbing up her clothing, faster than she could shake them off. She felt a sharp prick on the back of her neck, like a bee sting. Did one of them bite her? She tried to swat it away, but couldn't move.
I'm sorry, Potter said.
Helen could still move her eyes and shifted her gaze toward the old man's face. Were those tears welling up? She felt herself falling backwards onto dozens of pairs of tiny hands that caught her before she hit the ground.
Then they lifted her up and started carrying her toward the absolute darkness of the hole.
I'm sorry, he repeated.
You shouldn't have come back. I warned you.
There was nothing Helen could do, as an overwhelming fear flooded her mind. She was helpless as the homunculi conveyed her into the hole.
I'm sorry,
she heard Old Man Potter say softly into the night.
I'm so sorry.
She couldn't move, but she could still feel everything that happened to her as the tiny little men made her their bride. Thank you for listening to The Blueberry Patch, written especially for the Bedtime Stories for Insomniacs fiction podcast by Rich Hosek. Please remember to subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Rate us on Apple, Spotify, and Audible, and share these stories, as well as the unabridged audiobook versions of my novels, with anyone you know who enjoys audio fiction. Be sure to visit bedtimestories.studio, where you can sign up for our Insomniacs Snooze Letter to be notified of new episodes and exclusive offers, and get a free bookmark. You can visit richhosek.com to learn more about the host of Bedtime Stories for Insomniacs. Thanks again, and all the very best.